Good evening. The song that Pax led us in kind of has a clue for the lesson to come. There in the chorus it said, sing it over and over again, the chorus, prolong. And when you think about doing something over and over again, you think of repetition. And that's going to be the lesson for the hour. I must admit, this was a challenge. How do you preach on repetition without being too repetitious? I don't want to put everyone to sleep, but of course we're going to have to talk about that subject and repeat a few things. This has been a good series for me. It's been challenging to kind of get out of the comfort zone and out of your own box of thinking of putting together lessons, and this one certainly made me do that. But I was thinking about the children as they'll be going to school here pretty shortly and be learning their ABCs. They've been doing it at home some, but they're going to write A, B, 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 and down the line over and over, day after day, week after week. See, repetition of the right thing, it has more benefits than drawbacks. We learn our ABCs, our 1-2-3s with it. Memory verses are retained by it. Foreign languages are learned by it. We do our daily work by it. Think about that. We have our routines, don't we, because of repetition. We eat, we pray, we Bible read there in the morning, we work, we come home. You know, you be dad, you be husband, then you hit repeat and you do it all over again the next day. That's repetition. And we want to learn what Scripture has in regards for us learning about the concept of repetition and how it's beneficial to us as Christians. When one looks at a dictionary, you're going to find a kind of standard definition like this for repetition: the act of repeating. or doing or saying or writing something again. Now, I think it goes without saying, repetition of the wrong thing in the wrong ways can be like torture, like Chinese water torture, right? The drop that was used to drop on one's head over and over to torture them to death. But of the right thing, it can be like a blessing. Like being able to breathe. You're glad that your lungs repeat that same motion over and over again continuously. Or like the sun rising in the morning. That's a blessing, isn't it? Imagine life without it. Imagine life where the sun just would not rise. Just maybe periodically or just, yeah, you know, every now and then. Let's say you're in Seattle then. Yeah, that might be the case. Or Alaska. And sometimes it's very difficult. You don't get to see the sun. The sun rising repetitiously, day by day, is a blessing. What about every day with the sun, S-O-N, of God? Wouldn't that be a blessing? It's meant to be. Look in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, as Jesus was having a discussion with a woman by a well. And he asked for a drink of physical H2O, water. But he was wanting to get to spiritual water. And so he motioned to the water that would have been by him and says in verse 13, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And so describing the relationship with the Lord is like this fresh drink of cold water that comes up all the time, continually, without ceasing. Repetition, right? In John chapter 7, he again refers to this in verse 37. It says, on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And so, again, the relationship that we would have with the Son and His blessings every day is to be a refreshment and not to be torture. A blessing and not a curse. Ephesians 1 verse 3 even speaks about all spiritual blessings are where? In Christ Jesus. Now, God's not wanting us to be stuck in the same day like that popular movie in the past, Groundhog's Day, where every day was just the same for that fella. But that our spirit is actively engaged in doing the things that pleases God. And that repetition keeps us on that straight and narrow. You remember that path that the Lord spoke about? He spoke of two paths. One that led to destruction was broad, and then one that was straight and narrow. And staying with the things of God and the blessings of God keeps us on that straight and narrow. You might picture it this way: as a marathon runner runs in a race, that's a lengthy race. It involves step after step after step. After step, after step, after step, after step, after step, after step. But with each step, though there be many steps, he's what? He's getting closer to his goal. That glorious finish line. And that last step, when he crosses the line, is going to feel like such a refreshment that all those previous steps was worth the sacrifice and the effort and the struggle to gain that what? That one last step where he finally reaches his goal. And so as we as Christians, we look to godly redemption in such a way that it brings us ever closer to our goal of eternal life. Someone says, well, isn't the same old boring? I mean, we know what the world says about that. We know what they've done to religious services whenever it seems to become boring. Most denominations today have a traditional service and a what? Contemporary one, right? Well, because it's become too boring for the younger generation. And there's going to be a time when that contemporary will become the traditional, and there'll be a new contemporary type worship. They have to constantly change the packaging and the contents to attract a changing world. But what does that say if the worship is always changed to suit the one who offers it? Who's the one that's really being worshipped then? See, in response to all that, God says in Malachi 3:6, "For I, the Lord, I do not change." Hebrews 13:6 says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, the whole point in seeking to know God and to follow after God is to become attached to eternal realities that don't change. God desires us to grow to be like Him. That's what godliness means. To be God-like. And not the other way around. That He changes to become like us. His standard, His Word, is fixed. And it doesn't change. So what I'd like to look at, just at some examples of how God used repetition in the past. And then the next point will be how we might use some repetition in the present for our help and benefit. The first one being teaching children. This is very evident here when one looks at Scripture. In Ephesians 6, there, verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. It says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up." In what? In the training and admonition of the Lord. And we know training involves great effort, repetitious effort. This is nothing new. That was also the case under the Old Covenant. In Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, there, a very familiar text, we'll read, verses 4 through 9. Here it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house." Repetition, repetition, repetition. And instructing and training the children in the admonition of the Lord. Does this describe your home? Does this describe my home? How often do we talk to our children about the faith? Here we see in this passage, God expected it to be a part of the common vernacular of those individuals in the Old Covenant, and they are a great example to us there. You know, the Jews have what's called the Jewish Shema, which is a song that they sing, and they repeat it at least twice daily, at least twice daily. And it actually includes these words right here, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. So a young Jewish lad might be caught singing this. Or their parent, because they heard their parents singing this. And so they're trying to continually remind themselves of an instruction of the word of the Lord is vital and important. Because Proverbs 22 verse 6 says to train a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he shall not depart from it. So God knows repetition works in this arena. But also in keeping people faithful to Him and worshiping Him. There were annual feasts that God had made mandatory to the Jews. One of them there, the Feast of Passover. Look in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. The first time they take the Passover. He says at the end of it in verse 24, "And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. And it'll come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord your God shall give you, just as He promised, that you shall keep this service." God wanted that to be done all the time, yearly. He even prescribed the way it was to be done. And we see it also repetitiously taught the children. Verse 26, "It shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when He struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.'" So God had these yearly feasts that were to take place. This was just one of the three. And now understand, that was to be done for nearly 1,500 years. 1,500 years! God didn't want there to be any deviation or change. Not that there would be, here's traditional Passover, and then there will be contemporary Passover later on. No. God expected that to go on for centuries. Now, our culture is like any culture. Right? We believe new is better. Going back is bad, going forward is good, newness is progress. Old is like mold, right? No one likes it. Well, the same was true in these days, and that's why they forsook keeping these feasts. They changed things. And later on, when there was a restoration, there it even says that the Passover was kept not like it had been kept since the beginning of the Passover. And so we have to watch out for that could be within us, trying to get off of what God would have us to repeat over and over again. This is a part of every culture, every society, every political campaign. People clamor for what? For change, without really understanding or knowing if change would really be good. But it's just change. You see, it's be different. That should not be the case for God-ordained things. In fact, Paul gave the charge in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, there, verse 2, he says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions," how? "Just as I delivered them to you." That's how. And in case you missed it, in verse 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you." Keep that tradition. Just as I delivered them to you. And that really brings me to the third thing. It's just another example. There's many more examples that could be shared, but way in which God used repetition in the memorial of the Son of God. Right? "Do this in remembrance of me." See, just even in the inherent concept in the word of remembrance means to keep going back and remembering. The church of our Lord is to keep this in the same way, in the same format, in the same order, with the same elements. Continually. In fact, read that verse. Verse 23, it says that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. Verse 24, "And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes.'" That's how often it's to be done, or how long, I should say, till He comes again. So it's been in existence for 2,000 years. And if He desires for it to continue another 5,000 years, He expects it to be done the exact same way, in the exact same manner. However long He shall delay, His coming. And yet, again, what do you see often today? Changes to it. Jehovah's Witnesses, they say it's only for the 144,000 reserved in heaven. And so they say most of those individuals lived in the first century, so they don't partake of it. They just kind of look at it, and that's how they observe it. Denominations across this land will take of it yearly or quarterly or monthly, and some not at all. The Catholics will have a priest that can put a wafer in your mouth. And if you want, you can partake of wine that will pass as the fruit of the vine. So many changes have taken place. They go on to add that it actually changes into the literal body of Jesus Christ, the literal flesh of Jesus Christ, the literal blood of Jesus Christ, which of course no passage teaches that at all. It's to be done in remembrance. It's a memorial. These elements represent His body and His blood. They don't turn into it. So God has had great care in showing how repetition and service and worship is vitally important to Him. So how might we use repetition in the present? There are many ways. Now, before we dive into some of those ways, let me just share this thought with you. There are many activities and sports that I participated in while growing up. You ever thought, what is one thing that bowling, archery, basketball, judo, and playing the trombone have in common? If you guessed this right here on the chart, you'd be right. Practice, practice, practice. In fact, every coach would say, practice makes... And you know how it goes. Perfect. So it was repetition there. It was repetition at home. And then finally, the day would come. Game day, judo match, the recital, where all that practice was finally utilized and it would pay off, where you could do something good with the training that you had. And without that training, you were sure to fail. You were sure to lose. You were sure to make yourself look foolish on that recital day. So why would we think being a Christian is any different? This is where repetition is needed probably most of all, because we have the greatest goal. We have the greatest end that could ever be realized. And that's why we're doing a series on Bible study, right? That's why we study the same Bible. It's because we want to become better students of God's Word. And that can only be done, the series on Bible study can only be profitable to you if you what? Practice it. If you actually take it and utilize it and use it. It's going to involve much reading and studying, but that's what God asks us to do. Look over there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. Paul tells Timothy, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. What's that? Well, you keep on, keep on, keeping on, essentially. Keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Keep studying. 2 Timothy chapter 3. That shouldn't be new for Timothy, but rather old hat. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, he says, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Those Scriptures equip you, he says, verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Without this, you're not going to be a good student of God's Word. You're not going to be prepared when a time comes for you to study. I mean, that's essentially for, don't take this wrong, but that's game day, right? It's not a game, obviously. I'm just making a point. That's when you finally utilize all that you're training, all that you've been studying. And that you can have confidence when you talk with someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you just need to focus on a couple of core passages and have those imprinted in your mind or know exactly how to turn to those and just keep reading them. Write them down in a notebook over and over and over again. You know, Bruce Lee, famous karate guy, right? He said that he didn't fear the man who knew 10,000 kicks, but he feared the man who did the same kick 10,000 times. He knew that was an individual that could offer a knockout punch. The same one. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. And so if we want to be effective students of God's Word, maybe that's what we need to do, and just focus and grow our knowledge from there, from a few certain passages. Also, praying without ceasing. Where can I go? Or where can I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? You know, prayer is a reminder of that very simple truth. That there really is nowhere else I can go. I mean, others I can kind of describe how I feel. I can kind of describe what I'm going through. But there's only one Lord who actually knows the ins and outs of who I am and how I feel. And when trial strikes, for those that don't have a regular practice of prayer, they're going to feel very lost. They're going to feel so alone that they have no peace. Where can I go to the... Well, they've not been going to the Lord. They may seek to pray but feel little from it, since it feels like, you know, it feels like playing the trombone for the first time. It just didn't seem to work very well. In Luke 18, there, verse 1, a common passage, I don't know of many better, where the Lord desired men to pray always. He taught a parable about that, that men always ought to pray. What's that? Repeat. Repetition. And not lose heart. So that we'd feel at ease in running to our familiar Father who loves us and cares for us and knows everything about us. But without repetition, he's going to feel like a distant stranger. One that we don't know and feel that he doesn't know us. Now let me caution in this regard as well. Be watchful for a repetition of words. Like we said before, right? Repetition of the wrong thing can be like Chinese water torture. And the Bible warns in Matthew 6, verse 7, to not offer vain repetition when it comes to your prayers. I mean, what would you think if the same person came to you every day and said the same thing to you without change? That's how many Catholics offer their prayers. I mean, they have a certain system and formula in which they offer separate. I mean, could you imagine the same person every single day? There used to be a gentleman, and I think he was an aged gentleman, so he was losing some of his understanding in his mind, but he would meet at McDonald's and different restaurants, and he would come up and say the same thing every time to you, like he met you for the first time. And over and over. And you know, you feel bad for the individual. And fortunately, it wasn't, bad words. It was actually usually something about the Lord or some kind of scripture. And so, if you're going to repeat something, that would be the thing you want to be repeating. But again, when it comes to talking to God, we must remember we're talking to our Father, a person, a being. And, well, he'd want to talk to us the way we'd want others to talk to us, not saying the same thing over and over again like we're hitting a robot button, just hitting a repeat button. But he does want us to come to him often and frequently in prayer. But also in attendance for all services. In Acts 2 and verse 46, we see that was something that just went without saying there with the early church. They were just so glad to know the Lord and to know salvation from their sins. Hey, these first Christians had murdered the Lord. And he would actually forgive them? We need to be reminded that we're just as guilty as they are when we sin against the Lord, even one time. For all sin is equivalent before him. And he forgives us when we are baptized into Christ and become a Christian. Well, here in Acts 2:46, it says that early church continued daily with one accord in the temple and in breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They weren't mindless robots coming together. They joyfully looked forward to assembling. You know, if you want to know how to stop coming on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights, just miss a few times. Just miss it a couple of times on purpose, and the devil will take care of the rest for you. It becomes easy. You see, we're creatures of habit, and we can make it a habit to miss or to attend. I heard one individual one time tell me, Actually, I should say more than one time, unfortunately. But I forgot today was Wednesday. What? Excuse me? You forgot? I don't understand that. I mean, it's so firmly implanted in my mind that it, not only because I want to be an active participant in serving God, but because I look forward to it. I look forward to being with my brethren. I look forward to gathering. In fact, I feel something's wrong even when I'm sick and I miss. I just, like I missed out on having my batteries, my spiritual batteries recharged. And I think that's the mind that we've got to have in regards to it, that we look forward to it. And when we do, we're not going to miss it. We just won't. I mean, whoever forgot that, it's Christmas Day, right? Whoever forgets, Friday, today's Friday, Friday's here, you know, I forgot it was Friday. Everyone remembers those days because they're looking forward to those days and those times. We look forward to things that we enjoy. And thankfully, like Jesus said, it's like a spiritual drink of refreshing water. It's a blessing and not a curse. And it keeps us in the straight and narrow. In Hebrews chapter 3, there, the Hebrew writer even warned this, that you got to be in touch with each other. Hebrews 3, verse 12, he says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Well, what do I do in regards to that? Verse 13. "But exhort one another daily while it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." He's saying we need each other to keep on keeping on. And so, yes, every Sunday, there's two services. Every Wednesday, there's a service. We have gospel meetings three times a year. Attend all service. Repeat. Repetition. It's for our good. And then also, preaching the same subjects. Repetition is needed in preaching. Kind of like the lesson this morning. Many of you have heard lessons like that all your life about authority and direct command, apostolic example, necessary inference. And one was asking me about it and said, you know, "You preached one like this before." I said, "I actually have like probably 8 or 9, 10 different outlines on this same subject." It's very difficult to preach the very familiar subjects because you're trying to think of just a new, fresh illustration, just so it doesn't always become so repetitious and one drains you out. But you have to keep approaching the subject. We need that. We need those reminders. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Here it says, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away." I understand why he'd say the more earnest heed, because that's the time when you do have a tendency to tune out the speaker. Oh, I know that. I've heard that before. Give the more earnest heed then, because then we can begin to drift away if we don't take those lessons with a strong heart. If we take them with a grain of salt, then yeah, we'll begin to drift and not think of it as very important. Now, there's subjects. I've got a list of some of those that we need constant reminders of today, continually, especially as the world tries to get its tentacles stuck in us. In regards to morality, we need lessons that warn about the dangers of drug use and how that can steal one away. I told Julie, we were talking this morning a little bit, and I said, you know, it's reality that life's not perfect. We're not perfect. And our children won't be perfect. But I tell you, I pray that they don't ever get tangled up in some difficult drugs. Even less difficult ones, because sometimes those are a gateway. But I said, I actually used the word meth. I said, even one time. Because there's some that just did it one time and that was it. They were in. And we need to be reminded of those warnings, those lures that Satan has out there. They're like landmines, time bombs that could just explode one for the rest of their life. So we need to warn about various friends and activities that we spend our time with. Our dress, modesty, all these kinds of things. Sexuality and the way in which Satan tries to lure one away with sexual immorality. Yeah, I've learned this about repetition in preaching. And a lot of times it's not even about the knowledge. We know the right answer from God's Word. We know those answers. But it may be our conviction that needs a reboost. I know I've seen it before, putting together like the meeting flyer, and you get the titles from the speaker, and you write down some of those titles, and I say, I know exactly what he's going to say, and that I know exactly which verses he's going to use. I could preach that lesson with my eyes closed. And yet, I'm still glad to go and to listen to the lesson. But after hearing it again, my heart's conviction level has been rejuvenated. And you know what I say? I say, I'm glad I heard that. That was a good lesson. I mean, am I alone in this? I mean, where you know exactly what's going to be said, and yet afterward I needed that. You didn't realize you needed it, but you needed that. It's because that spiritual battery needed to be rejuvenated, even with what you already knew to be true. That's true doctrinally speaking as well. That's why we do lessons like we did recently on the women's role in the Lord's church, or instrumental music, or eldership, or marriage and divorce and remarriage. All these things are vital to God. And we know the truth on them, hopefully, but we need to be reminded. And repetition helps us do that, lest we let things slide little by little, until we're all in the wrong things. Now someone says, well, all this repetition stuff, I tell you, it just gets so boring. Well, I'll tell you, only if you let it. I was thinking about this. I think boring's a choice. It's a choice. You know, I read this article. It was actually an article entitled, Why Church is Boring. It caught my attention. I said, I'm going to read that article. You know the services he described? You might say, maybe something plain like what we got here. No. Not at all. In this article, he said it had lots of lights and noise, a hip pastor who used all the modern lingo, a praise team with lots of instruments, lots of jokes, and little Bible. The very thing that some of the members sometimes of the Lord's church would complain about, we've got too much Bible. He was saying the service didn't have enough. It had all the entertainment, all the current trends, and yet he looked around the audience and he said he saw people sleeping and he himself was bored to death. You see, boring is not based on externals. It's about the internals. If your heart loves the truth and loves God, then it'll be thrilled constantly, repeatedly, repetitiously to be doing the things that please God. Because we know what? We're running the marathon, and with each step, we're drawing closer to being with our God. There's a reason for repetition. It helps us to become masters, to grow as Christians in the things that He'd have us to grow in. My sister shared with me a quote as she asked as we drove to the airport to drop her off, and she shared a quote with me that I thought would be good to share. Repetition, this quote said, was the mother of learning, the father of action, and the offspring of accomplishment. Repetition. The mother, father, and offspring. The mother of learning, the father of action, and the offspring of accomplishment. I'd say that's a good thought. So you know what I'm going to preach next week? Repetition. No, just kidding. We won't do that to you. But what I will do tonight is repeat what I've repeated every lesson, and that is the invitation of Christ Jesus. Because you never know when someone's going to be wanting to respond to that, to become a Christian for the first time. And the blessed words of our Lord and Savior said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And those that have fallen away can still come back. Because again, the blessed word says that one can repent and pray that the thought of their heart be forgiven. You heard it 1,000 times. There's 1,001. Maybe there'll be someone tonight that will respond. Won't you come while together we stand and sing? Persuaded.